Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Thanking God for another day of being here. As always, got to put him first. Guys, I am so proud of the way that we all came together on my return on Thursday. You are a marvelous audience. The feedback has been amazing. So I want to first thank our guest who was here with us. Not sure she's in today, but we'll figure it out in a bit, to Miss Ema Cook. I cannot tell you guys how much she honored my panel here because the woman is amazing, just coming from a real point of view to have turned into what she hates to hear herself say. That's a sensation, but it's not about that. It's about the fact that we're trying to touch so many people. And tonight, we're so many of you from the first segment were came on sort of late on the broadcast and was like, oh my God, I wish I had more time to say what I wanted to say. So those of you who are there, if you're out there today, today's the day to do it. Because in between that day and today, the continuation, so many little things have come up on the web. Comments to Ema's situation, comments to my pre-broadcast topic, to the post of this, a lot of little comments from parents saying certain things I want to address tonight, as well as what we didn't get to finish. Now, with that being said, let me get a little bit of a shout-out out the way because some important things need to be said. Before I do the shout-outs, there's a very disturbing story that is taking place out here in my state of New York. I don't know how many of you have gotten to be familiar with the story, but a one-year-old baby by the name of Nicholas Felice Dominici was killed while under the care of a daycare provider, an actual daycare facility, to a fentanyl overdose. I can't imagine. I lost a child, a baby myself, but not to this type of circumstances, but I can't imagine being, I can't even imagine the heartfelt grief at this point that this poor family is going through, because this is one of the situations that make things hard on a parent, where they have to deal with society, you know, economic crunches, society getting involved with you in your business. No one's really giving you help. This poor family had to have their child put in a daycare facility in order to work. And it's hard enough that you hear all these stories about daycare centers and stuff like that, but to turn around and have to deal with the fact that while you're already on pins and needles for 8 hours of work and you have your child in someone else's care, to find out that somebody who opened up what's supposed to be a licensed facility strictly for daycare provision and is taking your money would deliberately do something like have fentanyl, trying to run a trap house or whatever the case is, while taking on people's children. You know, I can't even, but my prayers go out from one mother to another as a decent human being with or without children to someone like this, because there is no comparison in the grief of a person losing a child, especially a young one. So with that being said, my prayers go out to this little boy's family. You know, may God bless his soul and, you know, give them the strength that they need to get through this rough time. Moving on to my shout outs for tonight. Of course, my lovely guests from last week, Ema Cook, Terry Banks, one of my steady pillars and supporters. I thank you for that. To my brother, Muhammad S., and to Christina, my sister from another mother, Tammy, Irvin, you and I go way back since the beginning of the show. She is a powerhouse woman, has a lot to say, a lot of beautiful input on very critical subjects. She's a new a mom herself now, and she just has so much to say, and I was so glad to reconnect with her. To my daughter from another mom, Delasia, the mother of my grandson, she's not feeling well. I hope she's in tonight, but feel better. To my grandson, Amari, thank you for being a blessing to my life every day. My neighbor, Jeanette, for sticking out and supporting this project at all times. To my amazing twins, the group Untitled, Jared and Cameron, Layla and Alyssa listening in, for what you guys do every day on a daily basis and contributions to society, and for your support of your mom at all times. Thank you. To my daughter, Mimi Baby, Melanie, thank you for what you do and your contributions to your brother's music and to the community on a whole. Tonight, we're going to continue on hearing with them during the breaks, but we are going to continue tonight with part two of Dear Society, Please Shut Up. We are going to be speaking on, again, the damage that this interference and these unrealistic standards and all these naysayers and all this judgment put in on parents, which is an already incomparably horrible job. It is a job filled with incomparable high expectations, a disparaged amount of rewards to sacrifices. However, it's also when in its great moments gives you the most untouchable joy, but at the same time, there's a trade-off for everything that happens. And you got a lot of people who's in this role that is saying a lot of things about what should be done, saying that, oh, you're not doing the right thing when there is no right or wrong way to go. You just have to figure out as you go how it is. And then your children don't always grow up to be the greatest joy that they were when they came out, because they start having issues or telling you things that you swore you did right, but it was all wrong, and it's always something. But what this topic came off from was from everybody complaining about the fact that society interferes, turns their back on burnout, and blames a parent, especially moms. Like I said, brothers, we know that you guys are doing your thing, holding down your half of the parental role in here. Because for those of you who are, those of you who aren't, do not take the award because it does not go to you. But to those of you men that are out there being a father to your own and a village father to the rest of the community, those of you that are filling in and giving your other half their support and being their partners, whether you're together or not, that's hats off to you from us real women. But for those of you that are out there that don't understand, no matter how well, you know, they throw this dirt off on men sort of get away with not having to be around the kids or saying certain things or walking off a lot quicker in society than women do. So this is not a man versus woman thing. This is just a statement of fact. For some reason, society tends to think, well, we moms are the ones that take it all. We take it all. No matter what happens, we're there to forgive and forgive and forgive. And we are there to take on if somebody else's child was left out in the cold. We have so much feeling that we'll take them and do whatever. We'll take our partner's illegitimate or outside of the relationship children. And they'll walk sometimes and sometimes not. But either way, we get it harder. And one of the things that our TikTok guest said in her video, which brought so much backlash as well as so much support at the same time, was when your children become adults, after you've done everything for them, after you have given them everything you can, after you wake up every day of your life making sure that you are second to them, and you don't know what you're doing, but you're trying to do the best you can, and they mean the world to you above every and anything, then they grow up and they have disrespect for you in the sense of things that come out their mouth because they don't communicate in a way where is as angry as you might be or as upset as you may have been about something. There's a respectable way for us to communicate about it. When you get to the point that you as the mother are getting disrespect from your grown child? And she was saying in her video pretty much that it's time for you to allow yourself to understand that maybe it's time that you allow them to be at another part of the world or wherever it is with their disrespect, and you can love them from afar without taking the disrespect on yourself. Because your children, by the time that they have gotten to fix their lips to say a certain thing because they feel they know more than you or know as much as you or as equal as you or could do better than you, when they can fix their lips to say that after they've been living under the wind, under their wings that you've provided, then it's time for you to allow them to go out there and put their money where their mouth is, but without the disrespect to you, because that's something you don't have to take. Now, I've said enough on the opening commentary. I do see that I have someone ready to speak when we get in, but tonight I want to hear all of your thoughts. I want you to speak as a mom, as a dad, society getting involved in your parenting style. Does society turn its back on parents? Do you feel that as a parent, you're allowed to say, hey, you're grown now. I've done everything I can for you. And if you cannot come to me with respect, then you can deal with your life on your own. I'll always be here for you. I'll always love you, but I won't take the disrespect because you're a grown person now and you know how to make choices. That is what we're going to be speaking on tonight, and I'm going to be addressing some ridiculous comments that I found between Ema Cooks, Coach Ema Cook, let me give her her respect, videos as well as some responses to the questions from here. Now, tonight, as I said, we're going to be going out with a word, our sponsors, commercials, of course, and a word of a new, guys, get with me here. It's like raining and crazy over here, and I'm a little all tongue twisted. But tonight, we're going to be going back with this young group's new music during the breaks, as usual, as I said. So I would like for you guys to hang out with me. So here we go. Untitled, we're coming out with Don't Need No One. And I need you to know that this here is part of their awareness campaign for mental health in youth. And you guys heard the first one, Colorless, which was about when kids realize they have it and adults are saying that they're advocating for you and they're standing up for you and they're bringing awareness for you as kids, but they're really not. So they're telling you that they feel that they're see-through. No one is taking any real interest in them and their suffering. You heard that. The next day you heard was their second phase where they're still in it, but they have a support team in place, so they're not over the edge yet. This one here right now that I'm about to play for you is called Don't Need No One. And this one here is where they're explaining they're in it and nobody's listening and they feel hopeless. This is called Don't Need No One by Untitled. We're going to hear a word from our sponsors. We'll be back to start this show tonight. Dear Society, please shut up. Part two. I'll be right back.
All day, all night, every time I cry, I'm stuck.
I think that I'm good on my own. Ay. I think that I'm better alone. Ay. That's what I wanna believe, but I don't know.
I don't know.
Wanna stand on 2 feet, but I lost control.
I lost control.
Can't pull myself out of this darkness. I'm losing hope. No one around me wants to lend a hand. On God, nobody in this world is gonna
understand
all the pain that I go through in just one day.
One day.
It don't matter how I pray, the way I feel won't go away. There is no words that you can say that could fix me.
Not one.
I'm sorry. And I really hope that you can understand it's me, not you. Yeah, not you.
I wish there was something you can do.
That's true.
All day, all night, every time I cry, I'm stuck. Cause I just don't know what to do. I swear I'm done. Don't need no one. I'm lost, I'm gone. I've got nothing to lose. All day, all night, every time I cry, I'm stuck. Cause I just don't know what to do. I swear I'm done. I'm lost.
I'm living in a lost world with no guidance. My emotions, I can't find it. I feel trapped up in this cycle. Fighting my mental health's a real battle. No one I tell that's been around me cares about what I'm going through. Except for my mom and dad, and they still don't understand too. So once again, I'm by myself and they still can't walk in my shoes. I'm walking down this empty road, no person in sight. The only thing that I'm clinging to is faith that I'll get by. But I don't know. Yeah, I don't know, my shoulders are in too deep. Water's above my knees. Only a little time left before it's my head and I can't breathe. Before it's my head and I can't breathe.
All day, all night, every time I cry, I'm stuck. Cause I just don't know what to do. I swear I'm done.
New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything's straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote Attorneys at Law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. Katie and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you all for hanging out with me as usual. We have been speaking on, in part one, backlash as well as equal support, if not more support than backlash, for this amazing woman, Coach Ema Cook. She's a life coach. She's taken whatever experiences she's gone through, and she put out a video in the heat of emotion after something that personally took place between her and her one of her adult children. She brought out something to try to give mothers and fathers the right to forgive themselves or to heal themselves or to respect themselves in any way, you know, from being attacked by kids that you have sat there and given your life to, your sleep to, your body, your mental state, your strength, everything, to make sure that these young individuals grow up and have a good chance at a balanced life to get out there and do it for themselves, only to have them say, you didn't do a damn thing, because whatever it is that they can't get together or whatever it is that they haven't figured out yet, somebody has to take the blame for it. Okay, got that. With that being said, there was some comments that were made today, and very pleased to announce that Miss Ema Cook has returned for part two, which she will be in with the minute. There was a comment that was made on actually my post of part one of this, where a parent said, parenting isn't hard. You just simply have to listen to your children and hear them. So I was trying to figure out exactly how the magic wand was created in her world. So I looked and saw that her children are little kids. And it's hard but easy at that stage because you pretty much got full control. You mold them. They are pretty much pleased with anything you give them as long as it's given with smiles and they can get their way pretty much. And you could kind of reel them in and keep them together at some point. But what happens when those very children who love you all the way through and you're the greatest parent ever don't want to hear you anymore? They don't want to hear you anymore. They become teens and the hormones sit in. They become a young adults and the boyfriends and the girlfriends sit in, set in. Then you have, you know, the makeup. Then you have society telling them, go have sex. You can have parties. You can go do this. Don't worry about your parents. We'll take care of them later. But then they turn around and say, hey, what? Parents, what you doing? Hey, come get your mess. Well, our mess that we turn into your mess, we don't want nothing to do with the cleanup. So I'm trying to figure out where does this person get the right to say that for those parents, the millions of other parents out there who need something that, like Miss Ema Cook put out there, like the self-help books that are out there, like all these people from the articles tonight that I'm going to be referring to who sat down with mental health experts go to, this one person said, oh, that's not an issue because you just have to listen to your children. Okay. So with that being said, I want to hear what your thoughts are on this subject and that comment. And let me bring in our esteemed guest. Hopefully she is ready for me. And welcome to the show, Miss Ema Cook. Are you there?
I am here, Katie. Hey, how are you?
Hi, you, my love. Thank you so much for coming back. I want to get your feedback on that comment that I just read to you, my love. This woman sat there when we were I have put into a post, you know, pretty much defending or reading back or agreeing with a piece of what you said, plus posted the promo to part one. And this person said, parenting isn't hard. You just have to listen to your kids and hear them. So I would like to hear your feedback on that one.
Okay, so first let me say, didn't I hear you say that she has little kids?
That's exactly what I said when I saw the picture, but yes, four of them.
Okay, so I would say first, I had an expectation for parenting to be hard when my kids was little, and I was pleasantly surprised that it was not as hard as I had guessed. I will also say that probably their years starting high school and after have been the most difficult time of being a parent than all of them put together in their before high school years. Like, the before high school years was normal stuff. Like, I get upset, but it was normal stuff that kids do that you would expect. They get hurt. They outside. My son trying to climb in the ceiling, fell through the ceiling one time. You know, I was upset, but it's normal stuff that kids do. Like, they outside. My son trying to jump the fence, he get impaled on the fence. I got taken to the emergency room. But, you know, it's stuff like kids do, boys do. Little girl, they swimming. They jumping kids in the neighborhood or getting jumped. Like, it's normal stuff. So those are things that at the time seem stressful, but it's kind of what comes with the territory that you kind of expect. It ain't nothing where you like, oh, my God, this is something I have never imagined could go on before. But then they go to high school, and their hormones kick in. They go through puberty. They start to think different. People say they start to smell themselves. Boys find girls. Girls find boys. The way they act changes. I mean, like, if your kids anything like my kids going through middle school, my boys didn't take baths like I thought they should. And then they went from that to they were taking baths five times a day, buying all the best cologne so I knew they had met girls. Or my girl was in school. They didn't care about nothing. Then next thing you know, everybody wanted to be pretty and frilly and wear all the newest clothes. And because the things that they were attracted to or caught their attention had changed. So I don't expect anybody who have children younger children to have the capabilities to understand when I say, not even F them kids, but if I'm saying I'm frustrated, like, that's like me being a college-level graduate trying to explain to a middle school, somebody in middle school something. If we're not on the same level to be able to understand, they're not going to comprehend it. So I never get upset, offended, defensive when I see that the comments are coming from somebody who couldn't possibly understand where I'm coming from. Because I tell them like the old folks used to say when I was growing up, live a little longer. Because that's all you got to do, live a little longer. Because my kids acting out as adults, or your kids, you know, or anybody, any of the thousands of comments I got, kids acting out as adults, it's not a one-off thing. It's not something that's never going to happen to them. Even the people who commented and said, oh, my God, my kids never, I would never do that. Oh, then my kids are the best. I raised my kids right. Even all of them, everybody has at some point had an experience with their children that has made them want to throat punch them. I'm not going to believe they haven't. So if just tell her, you don't even get upset, Katie. Just tell her, live a little longer. Let your kids get a little older. Let's revisit this conversation in 15 years and see how you feel.
Ema, let me tell you something. I didn't even get offended by the comment because I'm a mother of 11, okay? They're all mine. For those of you that, what? Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. First of all, she has little kids, but even little children are hard. And let's talk about this. Let's talk about the ones that sit back and say stuff. What about the mothers of young autistic children who can't verbalize? Some of them are fortunate enough to have the child on a level of the spectrum where they can get some communication in. Some of them are not. So some of them are not able to speak at all. Some of them have horrible outbursts. What about the children that are on wheelchairs? What about the children that, you know, don't have anything wrong with them except that there's a specific chromosome or something that didn't develop properly, so they have outbursts or intermittent explosive disorder? What about that? I want to see how wonderful she think parenting would be then. What about the fact that there are people who are out there rich as all Fort Knox is? I don't know. You said you were from New York, so you would be familiar. You know the ones that live out there in Central Park and Park Avenue, the ones where all the rich actors and actresses buy property and come out here. I'm telling you that I see a one woman with one small baby and need three nannies. Half of them can't even take the fact that their one-year-old is acting like he's in terrible twos and they need wine at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. There's a reason for that, because as we spoke about in part one, there is no manual for parenting right or wrong. There is no one person who could say that any one thing works. And if you are a mother or a father of multiple kids, each child has their own stoplight or green light or yellow light or needs constant supervision at all times. Like you just said, your children climbing on fence and get impaled, and guess what? You've got to take them to the emergency room. You know how many times I've seen fathers be like, yeah, well, that he's going to have to learn. If the child isn't ripped in half and guts coming out, fathers are like, well, let's go get that cleaned up and let's get moving. I guess you'll learn not to climb that fence next time. Mothers are the ones that's like, oh, my God, let's go. Wait, look at this. What are we doing? And that alone, they don't understand. My son, one of the twins for this new little music band you guys are hearing, they were 4 years old, and they were on them stupid Razor scooters. I hate them things, okay? They are ridiculous. But the things that these merchandisers, you know, entice your children with, they make everything, you must have it. You got to have it. You must have it. You got to have it. So these little razor things, they're supposed to be collapsible, but when they collapse, there's the most razor sharp edge right at the joint where it collapses at. Don't ask me how my twins were racing around this little smooth path. When I tell you in this park, The path was smooth. There was not a rib. There was not a ridge. There was not a pothole. There wasn't a crack in the cement. There was not a stone anywhere. Don't ask me how my 4-year-old child, okay, managed to not only fall on the scooter that had no obstacles anywhere in it, but managed to get his leg on this edge of this thing, 7 layers in the skin deep. When they got this thing out of my child's leg, I think I went into hyperventilation. I think that when the ambulance came, I'm the one they had to treat first, even though his leg was the one bleeding. It had a mouth of its own. That's how deep the cut was. I posted it on Facebook. Not that I wanted to do that for any. I was just so shocked and crazy. I didn't know what to do. That was kind of like my way of releasing or having people please understand what I'm going through right now. His leg opened up and had to get, I think it was 24 stitches from the inside of the cut out. And to this day, he has a centipede-shaped scar. Now, just before that, I was telling my kids and the older kids I was with them, don't let them get on that scooter. They're not prepared for that. I had some person in the park telling me, oh, you know what? You're not being a good mother. They boys need to run around a little bit. There's no harm in that. Those things are perfectly safe. Just as he said that is when this thing happened. On no kind of obstacle to the wheel. And I didn't even get the minute to turn around and tell him, yeah, right, so what do you call that? You know, or don't tell me what to say to my child. Like, you could do that because I noticed that he had allowed his child to go climbing up the adult monkey bars near some rock climbing thing that was supposed to be there for the older kids, not the baby kids that he had there. We were in the baby park. Oh, you're not a good mom. You're supposed to let them go around and expel them. You're going to feel sorry later when you go home when they're driving you crazy going up and down the road. Because they didn't get to expend their energy. Someone has something to say all the time. And if I would have not done something, or if I would have, if they were another thing, they would have told me I was letting a little kid be on a motorcycle or a razor scooter too early on or too small, which is what someone else had said, as a matter of fact, on the other side of things.
I mean, no matter what decision you make, which way you go, you're going to have naysayers on either side. Like, because as a parent, you know, you're supposed to protect your children. And I agree with the father to some extent. Like, you definitely let your kids move around a little bit because you want them to realize things hurt, because that's the way you learn. Like, bad as it is, we learn through pain. So you learn not to touch the stove because it's hot, not because your mother told you don't touch the stove because it's hot. You know, like, it's one of those things that no matter what decisions you make, if you say, I'm not going to vaccinate my kids, you're going to have a million people against you. If you say, I'm going to vaccinate my kids, you still got the same million. It's just on the other side saying you're a bad parent. There's no way to live up to an expectation set by people that don't have the same exact experience as you. And I was going to say, like, I was listening to you, and I remember my youngest son broke his femur bone when he was 2 years old. So he had on a body cast, just outside running around. I have 4 sons. Nobody had a broken bone. The last one, he broke his femur bone, 2 years old. But he was so big, they thought he was 4. He's like 6'3 now, so he was tall then. They thought he was like 4 years old. So when the ambulance come and get him, they take him to the hospital, and they tell me he got to get surgery. They fix his leg. He was in a body cast. We had to get a special harness to strap him in the car. I had to get a special wheelchair because he couldn't sit up straight. I had to go through all his training to be able to, you know, care for the cast and maintain it. At the same time, my brother was graduating from high school, and we were going to the graduation. And just the process of maneuvering around with this child in this wheelchair was so much. I got in that space a whole new respect parents who deal with kids in wheelchairs. So no matter how many times I've seen it, and I know that must be hard, I still did not have the level of respect that I got when I had just a little experience on dealing with a child in a wheelchair. It was so much. Just that 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever he was in the cast, was so hard. I got a whole new level of respect. Like, I couldn't imagine. Like, now, even still now, years later, he was 2 then. He's 22 now. Even years later, when I see people with children and, you know, handicapped that they have to help or they're in wheelchairs, like, they get a level of respect from me like I give to nobody, because that I know that is a job. Like, I can't even imagine. But it's one of those things that people on the outside looking in who do not do this every day, it's very easy for them to say what children should be or what it is like to have children. Of course, like you said, the mothers that you see in the park, they have 3 nannies for 1 child. Like, they can sit up and tell you how easy it is to be a parent, because I'm sure the nanny experience is, you know, deflects a lot of that hard issues that us, you know, women who don't have nannies, we don't get to bypass. We stay up those all throughout the night when the babies have fevers. We stay up if they get hurt. We in the hospital if they get hurt or they get sick. They have to get their appendix out or they have to get their tonsils removed. Like, they have chicken pox, like normal stuff. Like, we stay up and deal with those things. So it's very easy for people who don't really have that experience or that, like, that's not their life. It's real easy for them to say what you should do, or you're a horrible parent, or you made terrible decisions, or that's why your kids hate you. And it's just they're trying to view your story from their perspective, and that's never going to work, because they're not you. They didn't live your life. They don't have the experiences. They didn't grow up like you. So it's hard, and a lot of people, it's really a very simple fix, though. The simple fix is to understand that there is another perspective. To try and see things from somebody else's perspective would probably help them, you know, be a little bit more open-minded. But that's just not where the world is now. Everybody thinks that their perspective, the way they see things, the way they experience things is right and it's true and it's the only way.
You know what I've been actually noticing, and I think, I mean, we all know this kind of goes with it, but more so, I've been seeing it more keenly since watching what the naysayers on your video, Ima, you know, have come up. I start to notice more and more, the more critical that parents are usually is because of the cowardice yet bravery that comes from internet trolling, where they can say so much from behind a screen. And I noticed that a lot of these people that had this parenting naysay, and I do see you there, caller, just give me a minute. It's a situation where you could sit behind a screen, nobody's ever going to see you, and you can flap them gums all you want. Most of them don't even have children. And like I said, like we both said in part one, many of them don't even take the time out to give a damn about either their own, or if they don't have children, they don't even help with a niece or a nephew to even have the right to say something. I want to, caller, I'm going to get to you in just a minute. And by the way, to the rest of you listeners that are out there, if you want to speak, you can't do it from the live stream. You have to call the number. The number is 347-327-9967. You must press 1 or I won't know you want to speak. And to you mothers that are on this panel that are going through something or have heard this before, I really want to hear your input as well. And I'm sure Ms. Ema Cook does as well. So please join in and let us all know, that let society know that this has to stop. You know, we're supposed to be a community for these children. The village is done. But there was, I was trying to bring this up in part one, but part one, everything got so, you know, it got so intense with the conversation. I told you that there was two articles, but one of them was written, I think that the person named herself Pretty and Baby Food, prettyandbabyfood.com. There was an article that was written on August 1st, 2017. And just to show you, this was pre-pandemic that we're talking about. So this situation or this feeling from parents came out even before anybody could blame the extra burden of being locked in the pandemic. So this lady, Pretty and Baby Food, that's what she named herself, she wrote this article, and it's called Parenting is Hard and Our Society Makes It That Much Harder. Now, I highlighted a few things because I wanted you to hear it. There was a section she had, Society and Their Standards, and she put standards in quote. Just listen to what she said. Society and their standards as to what a parent should and shouldn't do makes parenting that much harder. You can be verbally attacked and threatened, even, for making decisions for your children just because someone else disagrees with your decision, just as you said, Ima. As long as your child is happy, healthy, learning, and growing, who cares? Parents are judged in today's society for so many things. If you choose to work and send your kids to daycare, you're judged. If you choose to stay home with your kids, you're judged. Society judges parents for their choices on how they dress their kids, if they gave them high fructose corn syrup, fed them canned baby food, how and if they vaccinate, what religion they raise their kids, if they use disposable diapers or cloth ones, or whether you breastfeed or not. They judge you on where you breastfeed, if you're showing too much boob for their liking, and the list goes on and on. Parents are also now being judged on how many children they have or want. That was one section, and one small thing, internet trolls. It is so easy for people to sit behind their computers, hop on the internet, and judge other people. Well, you know what? Words hurt people. Words can be more destructive than physical violence. You know those children you are commenting about? Well, they're watching, and they're going to grow up, and your words will impact them because they will see them. That's just a little bit of this article. And I sent you the link because I thought about you and my daughter-in-law and a few other people that I'm close to. Very much. I brought up autism. I have an autistic grandson and this wonderful baby's mother that's more my child despite the blood than anything. I watch her every day, young, and she's very young, doing it. And this girl, when I look at her, I don't even think she knows how much awe I have for her. She says she follows me, but I watch her in a tougher society than my kids grew up in. She embraces all that comes at her. She cries, but she gets up. She listens. She's trying to learn. She respects like the advice of those who kind of walked the path before, but still manages to get up there and pick it up. And she falls. There's times that she emotionally breaks. But that's why I'm there to make sure all the time that she knows she got someone, because I remember what that was like. But what I have to keep telling her every day is that she has to give herself a break. Because like we just read, like you spoke about as an experienced mom, as I see every day, as even the men that's come on this show knows, people are never happy. Not even your children are ever happy. You could have given them the best thing in the world, nothing but indulgence, nothing but involvement, nothing but support. You could tell them every day, you are perfect as you are. Don't care what they say. You're my prince. You're my princess. You're everything that there is. And they grow up and still tell you, you didn't give them those shoes that they wanted at the 14-year-old birthday party. They'll still grow up and tell you, you know what, when I wanted you to be there for my performance, you weren't there. They don't care if you were working because you were trying to get a perfect outfit for that performance, but your boss made you stay that day. They don't know that you couldn't make it because you just found out you have a diagnosis from the doctor. May not be terminal, but it was something that affected you. They don't think about that because, as I said before, by the time they wake up, you've already solved, you've already addressed, figured out, and solved 8 problems before they had their first REM cycle. And they don't even know how you did it. They don't care how you did it. I'm telling you, I am struggling. Financially, I am as strapped as they come. But I have 7 children that knew brand name Christmases every year. But here's the secret. Do you think I paid brand name prices for those things? Absolutely not. But they got them. They don't know how. And if you gave them, as I said, 72 hours to figure out what you have to do in just 1 hour of their day, they wouldn't come up with half of the blueprint. But they have something to say, and now society wants to join in and tell you that as a mother, you have no right to burn out. You have no right to feel that for a moment when your kids are coming out their face with some fiery comment about you as a parent, especially after you can remember all the times you didn't think they were going to make it, and because of you, they did. Because of your prayers to God, because of you begging and pleading for their life, because you gave up everything there was so they could be okay. So if they were disabled, you helped them be able to integrate back into a community and have a full life. They have the nerve to tell you that it wasn't enough. And you're supposed to be okay because they're feeling themselves, because they're figuring themselves out, because we just didn't listen to their needs. And society says you as a mother, especially, oh, my stars, you can't say that about your children. And I look at people that do it all by themselves. I look at people, one child with no special needs is hard. With two parents in the household, it's hard. One child, ladies and gentlemen, get it together. I'm not talking about all of you that could drop off your child at any grandmother or any aunt or any other sister or whatever. There are a lot of people out there that has one child and doesn't have the family support you guys can talk about. And they have to figure it out every day because they're not trying to walk away from their responsibilities. And half the time, the mothers that are talking crap is the ones that the mothers of the sons who walked away. But society says, so what? We don't care. So, again, I want to big up to you, Ima. I want to big up to my daughter-in-law. I want to big up to my sisters that I have, that they're not my blood sisters, but I want to big up to my sisters that I know. One of them has an autistic child. Two of them have an autistic child, my daughter-in-law and my sister. And I have a few other people that I have seen, like you said, with the wheelchair, who has to deal with that child every day. And everybody's talking about, well, why does that kid in the park, he shouldn't be there. She has to deal with that every day. To those kudos, queens and kings that are out there because the fathers are involved with the guy with the wheelchair and a few others. Kudos to you men. Definitely my hat's off to you mothers. Let me bring this caller in who's been patiently waiting. 1 second. Welcome to the On the Edge show, caller. You're on the air. Hello?
Kim?
Oh, hey, Muhammad. How are you? Yes, welcome to the show. I do want to hear what you have to say.
Let me tell you, shout out to both of you great mothers. Let me tell you, the world that we live in right now is not the world, the generation that we came in. You know, as far as we're concerned, the world wants to eat our children. They don't care for our children. There's not a village anymore. A lot of, you know, society right now, even adults included, are so influenced by social media, are so influenced by the whole world. And the thing is, we have to go back to the roots. We have to go back to what parenting is. We have to go back to having a boundary and a line, whereas we can joke and play, but do understand that I birthed you and I brought you into this world and I'll take you out. I don't care what society says. Society did not carry you for 9 months. Society did not spit you out. Society does not come from my blood, does not come from my generation, does not come from my doorstep. Society is outside. This is inside. When I had you, I brought you in here. You're raised by my rules. You're raised by me. Because at the end of the day, when you leave my sight and you're outside, society does not care for you. If you get shot, you get killed, you get kidnapped. Society, that same society is going to be blaming the same parent that, oh, why didn't you watch your kid? But then all of a sudden now, when you're raising your kid, you're now influencing my kid the wrong direction. Like, oh, you don't have to listen to your parent. You could do this. Oh, you don't have to do that. That's the old way. This is the new way. Then you have so much influence through social media. You have so much bad influence of people that don't really care about the kids. Then you have the TikToks of the world where they're having platforms where kids could be expressive about stuff, where back in the day you couldn't say certain things. You couldn't be cute with it because not for nothing, it wasn't like that. If you were in a room with adults, you don't sit there and participate with adults. So at the end of the day, there's no way in hell that you're telling your child that they can have sexual intercourse in your home. You're entertaining that. Then next thing you know, your 13-year-old daughter, 14-year-old daughter already has two kids, and you're already a grandmother, and you're promoting that. Then the whole thing with the planned parenthood and all that stuff. You know, all these things that were used to affect the black family, separate the black man from the family. The woman has no choice. You're making her entertain welfare to the fact that she doesn't understand that the welfare is what's keeping her totally dependent on a system that doesn't even care for you and your kids. So at the end of the day, you need it. It all starts with foundation. Even though we do live in a society that is new, we still have people of old school values, old school morals, like you and the guest. So it's like at the end of the day, you guys are fighting competition with society in itself. It's like, you know what? Even people who are around your age, they have changed too. People, the world has totally changed. You're like, you're entertaining this? You're from my era. You're like almost 63 years old. You're sitting here talking like you're 23. Like, what is this? Now, even now, parents are now changing up. So even now at 10:50 in the night, some of those kids who are on the street waiting to rob someone, they're coming from those lenient parents. They're coming from those parents that's like, oh, I don't beat my kids. Oh, you don't have to do this. Oh, you don't have to do that. Whereas the parents who are raising their kid, most of them are in positions where they're in high positions now, doctors, lawyers, teachers, whatever, because all those ass whoopings that you were giving them, all those beatings that you were giving them has instilled in them. That's why they're not out in the world doing anything stupid, because they won't play themselves, because they know that charity begins at home. I come from a generation where my mother gave me one look, one eyeball, that's all it took. The next one was a knockout, right there and then. You see, and that's where I'm standing right now. Not in jail, not dead. So at the end of the day, it always goes based on parenting. Parenting is not easy at all. And it makes it harder when you have outside influences telling you that. But when you tell your child something, when you instill that fear, that's what. There's no more fear in a kid. You have to instill that fear in them and let them know that if you do this, when I deal with you, the police are going to have to deal with me. My mother told me that from young. If you go to jail, you better stay there, because if I come and pick you up, they're going to throw me in jail. That in itself made me already know that I cannot play myself. I'm not going to talk too much because I know we got other people, but I wanted to put my two cents. You guys are great.
Oh, yours are absolutely amazing. Ema, you want to reply? Ema?
I'm here. I'm sorry. I couldn't get out of here.
Do you want to respond?
No, I'm in total agreement with what he said, especially about the, you know, coming from a generation to give a look. I used to give my kids a look, and they would get their life together, and that's because that's how I grew up. I used to get a look, and I think I told you that last week on the caller when me and you had a conversation. Like,
mm-hmm.
I was a very challenged child. As a child, I was, you know, they used to say I was bad, and I could not compare to the things that I see from this generation of children. And it still was different. By 18, I had my life together. I wasn't acting like these. We continue to say children, but we're not talking about little kids. We're talking about grown adults.
Mm-hmm.
And like even my son, I had an issue with. He's 28 years old. Like, he's not a little bitty kid. He was raised the same way the other five of my children were raised, and he is the one that I have the constant issue with, and it all comes down to what he feels like he's supposed to do, what he feels like. He doesn't feel like he has to. He can do whatever he wants to do, and it's not because he wasn't taught something different. He was taught consequences. He was taught you know, being responsible, but as he has gotten older, he just chooses what he's going to do. And I respect that. I respect the fact that you are a grown man and you want to do whatever you want to do, but you just can't do that and be connected to me. And that's why I couldn't understand why everybody was so upset about the video, because I never said that I was giving up being a mother. I mean, hell, if there was a way to do that, I would have did that years ago when it was really hard. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't say I was giving up being a mother. I just said that I respect your decision enough to allow you space to do that, because I'm not going to stay, just like any parent. As a parent, you're not going to stay and sit back or stand back and watch your kids doing something that you know is going to result in them being hurt, or going to result in them might be getting killed, or result in them going to prison. You're not going to just sit back and watch them do it and not say anything and just keep your mouth shut and say, oh, that's their business. That's not what we do as parents. A lot of the issues come as parents because you can see 10 miles down the road, all the hazards, because you went through them yourself. And you're trying to tell them, hey, you might not want to go that way. Hey, you might not want to go that way. Hey, you might want to turn right here. You might want to jump to the other lane because you know what's coming. And they have no way of seeing that because they haven't lived the life yet. So as parents, you try and prevent them from making those mistakes. You try and tell them where the hurdles are because they walk in the same path blindfolded that you walk. When you were their age, blindfolded, because it wasn't no way for you to know it until you experienced it. So we're trying to tell them, hey, don't do that. Hey, don't do this. You might not want to do that. But they know so much. They know everything. They got the smartest. The phones they have in their hands are computers. They can look up anything. They can see anything. They do anything with it. Like, they in school, like, they can't probably add, subtract, multiply in their head, but they can pick up their phone and hit the calculator. Like, it's just, it's crazy. Like, the phone does everything for them. It thinks for them these days, right? The social media, like you said, they mimic everything they see, everything that goes on social media. That's why it's a million things. Like, we have become a society that is more important to do a TikTok challenge than it is to help somebody in need. How many times do you see something go on in the street, somebody get shot, somebody get jumped, somebody's hurt? The first thing everybody do is take out their phone to record. Not one person trying to assist or render aid. Everybody's recording. Like, it baffles me. Like, I understand that, you know, some situations, you know, people might not feel safe to say anything or to intervene because they don't never know what another person going to do. I get that. I understand. But if right now, right here on this street, if somebody was laid out in the middle of the street and 10 people walked up, at least 8, 9 of those 10 people, going to take out their camera to record before one take out their phone to call 911. And it's crazy. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. But that is where we have come. And until people stand up and be honest with themselves, have an honest conversation, and stop sitting back expecting first everything to fix on its own, which is not going to happen, or expect for the next person to be able to fix everything, which is not going to happen, it's one of those things where each person has to be responsible for themselves and for their neighbor. And we have to figure out a way to get back in line, because that's the only way we get right. That's the only way we get back where we need to be. That's the only way the world gets better. Because if not, it just continues to get worse and worse.
Profoundly spoken and expressed, my dear. And like we spoke in part one, when you said that a comment I made in my commentary, this society and these people talking, when you say that, you might be able, you know, like you said, there's times when, you want to choke them. They said something, or you want to, like, pull your hair out, or there's a minute of your life when you sit there and you go, ooh, bite them out now, I'm in a position where it's either going to be you or me. And it's not going to be me, bro. It's not going to be me. So I would suggest you stop talking right now, because there's a bridge right here, and I'm going to push you in the water. But if we think like that, if we actually really did that, we'd be the first one jumping in to save them, make sure they didn't hit a riverbank or something, or go down to the bottom. They don't seem to get that. Mothers, more than anyone, is allowed to have a verbal expression of frustration in the heat of a moment. Mothers are allowed to say, I'm doing this. Let me ask all of you naysayers something. If all of you who are with your kids have the greatest fairy tale utopia, please give us the manuscript so we can make a nice little children's movie out of it, and we can, you know, use it for fantasy. Because at the end of the day, like you just said, you teach your kids everything. You know what I notice about today's kids, which makes today's parenting so much harder, in my opinion? That very same thing you spoke of with regards to technology. These are the dumbest smart kids I've ever seen in my life. Everything is done for them. Everything is pre-installed for them. Everything is autofill. Everything is autocorrect. But have you noticed half of them can't even write a proper letter, because the autocorrect doesn't actually tell them how to properly put all of these words into a context and make a proper sentence. No, There's other things. There's some kids I know right now, because everything is digital, no one knows how to even properly address an envelope for a letter, to send a letter out. They don't know how the address goes. They don't know how to put the sender's address in the corner, and none of it, because everything's taught to them. But at the same time, like you said, you have all these people telling them, all these kids are believing they're entitled to something that everybody else have to work for. Have you ever noticed? There's a lot of people, you gave them everything, and while you were teaching them, you taught them, hey, if you do your chores properly this week, there's a prize at the other end. These days, like, is it money? Oh, can I get an iPhone? Oh, can I get this? I used to ask my 10-year-olds, you want an iPhone for what? You have no jobs. You're a CEO of nothing. You're not a doctor. There's nobody's going to pay you. You want a phone? All your phone needs to do is maybe play a game, but you need to have texting ability and phone ability. Now, technically speaking, that's your cell phone. Anything we get you above that is because we love you and we're just trying to be nice. But don't act as if it's a requirement. Then you'll get them an iPhone 6 and they want the 8S, if there's even one of those. I hate Apple, so I'm just saying that to you. It could be 8S, XR, I don't know. All of them are probably going, ooh, mom, ooh, ooh, she got it wrong. So my thing is, I've seen all these 20-somethings, 18-somethings, even down, they act as if the things you work hard for, the thing you saved up for, the thing you sacrificed to save for, to achieve, the things that you have earned because you were working for it, regardless to what, the research you put into something and found at a certain price that you were able to get, anything, they feel that because you're their mom or their sister or their cousin or whatever, they're entitled to ride the reward with you. Not realizing that if you choose to allow them to sit in that space and get a little bit of the benefit from it, you're being generous. Some of these 20-somethings feel they could go out, get jobs, save their money, and come back and live in your house while they're looking for the perfect something on your back. You saved your money, and if you don't give it to them, it's like you're a messed up mom. You're messed up. Why? You got to do this. Go ahead,
you know, it's so funny you say that, because my second phone.
Ema, your phone is chopping up.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I was moving around. Okay. Like my second son, he worked for a major airline. I mean, he worked with. He probably made more money than me, right? And when I got him an apartment to live, pay his own bills, didn't bother me at all. So recently he decided he wants to buy a house. So I told him, you know, he can come back and stay in my house, in one of my bedrooms. It's fine. He doesn't have to pay anything. That way he can save his money to have his down payment to buy his house, so he doesn't have to pull out his 401k. So I said all that to say, as he was moving his items back in, I noticed he had my iron. And I know this is like the simplest thing, but I had bought this iron in my old house before I even moved. And when I was moving, I was like, where's my iron? Like, where's my iron? And he took my iron without asking. And he worked every day. But it didn't even dawn on him to go buy his own iron. He took my iron, did not ask. So when he's moving back in, he's like, oh, here's an iron, I borrowed it. No, you didn't borrow it. That's theft by taking. When you remove something from somebody's possession without permission, that is theft by taking. So he's looking at me, he's like, no, I just borrowed it. You cannot borrow something that no one knows about. So it just goes to show you. I told you that, like, it was funny to me because I done bought a new iron by now, because I thought the kids threw the iron away in all actuality. But it just goes to show you, like, even if your kids are doing everything right, as people say, you know, quote, they great kids, they're doing everything right, they're still going to do things they don't think when it comes to you as their parent. They're going to still do things they're still, like, because I was looking at him like I was blinking. I was blinking like, wait a minute, did you seriously take my iron out my house? Like, and he couldn't put a light for him under. done the same. It was like, yeah, I just borrowed it. First of all, you can't borrow no iron for a year. Like, you can't do that. That's not what happens. Like, you borrow something for like a day maybe. But, and he works. He got his own car. He got his own job. He had his own place. I'm sure he could go buy an iron. It would have been no problem. But he took my iron. So, you know, I just think, like, some things like that, it's, to me it was funny, but for, I still use it as a teachable moment. Like, I explained to him. He probably still didn't get it, but I explained it to him. You know, that's just not what you do. I would, as an adult, I would never go in my mother's house and shop at her house. Like,
absolutely.
And I see people put that all the time, that they go shop at their parents' house. Like, I never would think to go in my mother's house and remove something of hers, asking or not, and take it home with me. And if you come from, like, when I was little, or, like, as an adult, like, my mama, if I go to her house, she's trying to give me all this stuff. And I'm like, no, I don't want that. Like, mothers be trying to give you stuff, like older mothers. That's how I think. But I couldn't imagine going in my mama's house and removing something or taking something without asking. But this generation just, they don't think the same way. Like, their mind doesn't even work. I don't know. Like, I be trying to figure it out. Like, definitely since, you know, me and you have had these several conversations since we had the last call, since I've been really researching, trying to read, because I really like to understand. I'm studious by nature. I want to understand things. And I cannot wrap my brain around what's going on, how this generation thinks, why they think the way they think. And I just think it's because my mind is not made like that. Like, I didn't grow up like that. I came up in a time when you had to figure things out. Everything was kept from us. It wasn't dumped on us. We didn't have access, easy access to everything, but it put us in a situation where we became inquisitive. We started to ask questions. We looked up. We researched. And like you said, these kids these days, I remember having to go through the encyclopedias to write my paper. Mm-hmm. I couldn't just open my phone and Google something. I couldn't pull up the computer and Google. I had to pull out the letters, the pictures with the letters on the back, mm-hmm. according to whatever I was researching, and write a paper like that. And it's these kids, like you said, can't address an envelope. They don't know how to fill out a job application properly. My previous life, I had been a store manager, a manager of a big box retail store, and the sheer number of young people who come in don't even know how to dress for interviews. And it's heartbreaking, because it's not only do I feel like they were failed at some level at home, but even in school. Because when I went to school, they taught things like we had home ec. You knew how to cook simple things. They don't do that anymore. I know they don't in Atlanta. I don't know what they do other places. Like, these kids don't know how to change a tire.
No, home economics used to be like a mandatory subject in the schools we grew up with. Ema, just give me 1 second, because I'm actually late to go to commercial break and I have a caller that's been waiting. So give me 1 second and let me get them on. I want to address what you said as well. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hi, Kim. I just wanted to first say thank you for the kind words you had said about me earlier. It does feel like a battle sometimes. I think about it, but it is worthwhile. For those who are listening, hi, I think I'm Kim's daughter-in-law. I just wanted to first say, can you hear me? I'm so sorry.
Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, yes. I just want to first say you have always been tremendous. You have always been a tremendous help, even from the first day when you found out about little one. The advice you've given thus far in regards to his autism has been amazing, and the support is always, always appreciated. I do actually want to piggyback off of something that was mentioned earlier about society and how they need to stay back and pretty much just mind their business, and what regards to how parents should feel and based on their children, whether they're grown adults or, you know, even if they're just small little children, 3, 4, 5 years old, because it is hard for the parents that are actually parents. And I want to say parents because there are actually fathers, not just necessarily the mothers that go through this as well. Mm-hmm. It is a full-time job, and to have the naysayers come at you and be like, oh, well, how dare you feel away, or how dare you get frustrated, or, you know, this is your job. You decided to have a child. You're pretty much giving up certain luxuries. And I'm not talking about luxuries as far as buying a new car or buying the latest sneaker. I'm talking about getting up, going to your job, not having to realize, not having to go through the stress of, okay, I have to fluctuate my schedule in behind in regards to your child's schedule. Or, okay, if I'm at this job and he has a tantrum at school, who's going to pick him up? And there's just certain people that would be like, oh, okay, well, you have to do this. And when you say, hey, I'm burnt out, I'm frustrated, I am tired, rah, rah, it's how dare you say that as a parent.
Right.
And last year I was experiencing, my son is special needs. He was diagnosed at the age of 3. He is currently 5 now. So as you can pretty much understand, this is a new learning progress for me as being a first-time mom. It is a whole new ball game. It was the appointments, the meetings, the sensory issues, the tantrums that will come out of nowhere in the middle of the street, and you got the naysayers looking at you, commenting under their breath, oh, he's running around, or you're in the market, he shouldn't be doing this, or he shouldn't be screaming at the top of his lungs, not understanding, hey, this child is autistic. He has his own way of doing certain things. Or if he goes to school and he's not able to say certain things, they're just like, oh, well, it's your fault. You should be spending more time with your child. Society, just mind your business, stay back, and understand that not everything is as black and white as you wish it to be.
In other words, shut up, pretty much.
In other words, pretty much shut up. I've had, there was a conversation that I recently had with my own mother from, you know, now that I am a mother, talking to her, like, hey, I understand how it must have been hard. You had 2 kids. You had twins with one being on special needs. If I'm only doing it with one, I can only imagine how it must have felt having 2 kids at the same age back to back. For her to turn around and be like, oh, well, I've never felt burnt out. I've had my kids. I knew when I had my kids that I had to, you know, like, it was never, I never, how dare you say that you need a break? You don't need a break. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'm glad that you feel like that, but don't disregard me saying that, hey, I am stressed out. I am primary mom. I deal with my child from sunup to sundown. I do need a break.
I would like to know what bottle of, you know, like what high she was on. I mean, listen, this is, I want to talk. There's a lot of people that they veer more on satisfying the politically correct or the, you know, the whitewashed image. You cannot handle being a parent if you're not truthful with yourself. Let me tell you, I don't brag about myself in perfection. What I say with conviction, with clearness, with certainty, with 100% confidence is that every day since the first day I knew my first child was just a bean in my stomach, my world has been about doing everything I thought possible to the best of my ability to give my children the best I can give them. That's what it is. Anything that I had to learn, you learn on the way. And even as a grown adult mother, meaning mother of adults or father of adults, you're still learning. You're still learning. As long as you're alive and breathing, you're always learning. You are still learning. There is no end to it. There's always something new. And this day and age, there's a sense of self-proclaimed entitlement that your children have, not on their own merit, something that we were drilled with growing up, but what society put in their head. You don't need your parents to go make the biggest decision of your life, like have sex. Guess what? Your hormones are going to be there first. My job as a parent is to tell you, yep, you're going to get them tingles. Yep, that's going to, and I don't talk to my children like no politically correct stupid textbook tells you, because when they hit the world, when they go out there and face that particular topic in the world is not going to say, hey, baby, I want to touch your birds and bees. That's not what's going to happen.
You're going to hear every type of whatever. So I try to teach my daughters and my sons the lines you're going to get from both ends, and understand, don't let the feeling drive you, because that feeling is going to take you to an act that's going to possibly change the rest of your life. Now, I've got parents, let me tell you, I have heard the weirdest things that parents say they do as ways of making sure their children don't do it outside. You're on with me, you're on with me, Delasia, as a mother. You're on with me, Ema, as a mother. Mohammed, are you still there?
I'm still here.
All right. You're on as a son, because you don't have children yet. That's my brother from another mother, guys. Now, I want to hear all of your feedback. I have one parent that told me she walks around naked in front of her sons. By the way, they're now fathers of their own. Like, they have their own children. She walks around naked since the kids were little in front of her sons, because she didn't want her sons to get so obsessed with trying to find out about nudity and do something stupid, you know, to that would hurt themselves. And, you know, ask me, you never did that around your children? No, I never said anything to the person. You know, I never said anything. But I want to ask you mothers first, what do you think of that? Start with you, Delasia, and then I'm going to go to Ema.
I think that's insane. That's not something that I can agree with. I do know people that did the same thing. They would walk around their grown children. I'm talking about kids that at the age know their body parts, around just naked around their friends, their family members, and they think it's okay. They think that they're teaching their children to not be so... how do I explain it? They're in their head, I believe that they're trying to teach their children your body is okay, which I understand to an extent, but you have to cover up. That is not something that should be done around little kids or even grown children with their own children.
I'm going to get back to you on that. Ema, can I hear your thoughts?
So I will say that I never, when my kids was growing up, I never would walk around them. They would never not see me fully clothed, because I have four sons and two daughters. But I hate to tell you, now with grown children, I might be in the tub in my bathroom or using the toilet. And you know how, like, when your kids are little, like, they stand at the door? My grown children will do that now. And I have to be like, excuse me, I'm in the bathroom, like, give me a minute. They don't even think to respect boundaries. Like, I have to explain to them. And it's crazy to me, because when they was little, they wasn't even like that. My kids weren't the type of kids that would stand at the door when they was little. But now as adults, like, I have to, like, even my grown sons, I'd be like, excuse me. Like, I would cuss them out, like, get out of here. I can't even tell you no time I ever seen my mom not dressed or naked. Because I would never
Think
to enter her room while she was not dressed. If her door was closed, I wouldn't even knock. My kids, if my door closed, they're going to knock. Like, I had to be like, excuse me. And I realized that probably as they was growing up, like through their teenage years, I wasn't as strict as I should have been on them about respecting boundaries, because I probably had my own stuff going on. I probably was caught up in my own stuff. Like, they was older not to need me every second of every day. For the first time, I didn't have six people depending on me every single second of every single day. Because by the time they got in high school, they was doing their own thing. So I had a little bit of a breath. So I probably was caught up in my own, like, I couldn't tell you now what it was, but I probably was caught up in my own stress. I was able to deal a little bit more in my everyday life, like whatever was going on at work, or, you know, I don't know if I was dating somebody, like whatever was going on. And I probably was more lenient as through their high school years, but now even as adults, like I said, I have to remind them. But I don't have a problem, you know, checking nobody, hey, let's go back to what we need to be doing, because this ain't it. But I'm thinking that it's probably that they don't understand the premise of boundaries, I think. Like, I go off of what I experienced with my own children, but also things I talk to people. I talk to a lot of people about raising their kids, and just in listening to a lot of the things I hear, I just don't feel like the young people, because they're not little kids, they're adults, but they're young people, young adults and adults, that they don't have the same understanding or respect for boundaries like we did growing up.
Gotcha. Okay, now, Mo, I'm going to ask this same question, but I'm going to ask you from a son's standpoint, did you feel that, you know, do you think that you have any unnatural type of curiosities because your mother didn't walk around naked in front of you?
No. In fact, to this day, Mom still has her twins out, you know. I've been around that my whole life. So it's like, you know, at the end of the day, you know, that doesn't trigger anything. It's just like back in the day where if you saw like a Playboy magazine or Hustler or you saw something within the house, you would be surprised. And even, you know, you get older and then you like, you see like even a dildo, you're like, oh my gosh, Mom. Or you see Dad doing something, you're like, oh gosh, Dad. You know, you don't get influenced by that. But every so often, you never know which kind of, you know, what kind of child you have. You know, you don't have a lot of these people who turn into like serial killers and they get mental because their mother is like having sex in front of them or having guys go in and out. Out of the house, that messes with a child's psyche, you know, and that whole child psychology thing. But you know, with my mom, she walked around, you know, me and my sister, even to this day, you know, and it never influenced me to do anything or anything of that nature. No, I think sometimes that also depends on a child. It depends on the environment, you know. Also, if a child molestation, you know, things of that nature. You see, because all these kind of things that you expose to a kid. You know, these are the kind of things that makes a person really, you know, a lot of these dudes who have been molested as a child, they've seen their mother having sex, they've seen drugs going in and out of the house. These kind of things is what triggers people. It's like these are all the things they talk about. And these are the people who are in the systems now because of all these evil. You know, we have to understand the world we live in right now is very extremely demonic. Everything that's happening right now has already been written. So everything in life was supposed to change. And, you know, change is part of life, but it depends on what kind of change. And if it's positive change, it's great. But if it's negative change and it's change that's unmodifiable, where you cannot go, I mean, we can go without old school values and morals, but you have people even your age now who have turned like I said before, they've changed too. They've changed too, and they've come from a different era, and it's like, you've come from a different era, but yet still you're entertaining this. It's sort of like you're sitting here smoking with your daughter and your son. You're drinking with your son. You're going to the club with them. You know what I mean? It's sort of like this basketball player, John Morant. His father is a perfect example. T. Morant is a poor example of a father. The only reason why you're not acting like a father is because you're riding on your son's coattails and you're on your son's payroll. And at the end of the day, your son has had like 3 gun situations in the NBA. You have a dude who left the hood and is in something that most kids dream of being in, and he's hustling backwards. You're hustling totally backwards. You're going taunting, showing guns on Instagram, again, social media, and then you're doing these things, and you don't understand that you're part of a business. You're a black man in a white man's world, and you're given an opportunity that most black men would have never even seen, and you're going backwards. You're showing guns and you're doing this. All of this makes so much sense of what we're talking about today, because it's about influence. It's about influence. And his father, based on his dad, who actually is a big influence and factor of why he made it to the NBA, I would never believe that you got your son this far just for you to allow your son to get lax with it. You know, he has all these people around him who are not influencing him in a good way. He don't have any mentors around him. And you're his dad. You're his father. You're not dead. You're not in jail. You're not under these regular stereotypical narratives of black men. You're with him. You're at the games. You're seeing your son right. Going down the drain, and everybody else around you is talking responsible, and you're not even talking the way they're talking. You know, so it's like it's a poor example of a father. And going back to what you guys were saying, when there's no male, the girls. When is a male figure in the house? it makes a difference. Even right now at 11:24, if a woman, if any one of you are walking with me on the street, you will feel so much safer and so much secure. It's like women nowadays, they need that. And every so often you have some women that I want to be a gentleman to, that women back on, oh, I don't need you, I don't need you. See, that's another effed up mentality that women of our culture need to stop with that shit. Oh, I don't need no man, I don't need no man. No white woman, no Hispanic woman, no Asian woman, no one outside of black culture is saying shit like that. It's always the black women, oh, I don't need no man, I don't need no man. Yes, you do. Yes, you do, because when it comes to foundations like this, your children, that's why when people talk about Joe Jackson, this society needs more Joe Jacksons than ever before, because not for nothing, if you have people who are raising you with an iron fist, they will not be the ones on the street causing trouble. They will not be on the street doing nothing. They'll be home studying. They'll be on the dean's list. They will be out there being a perfect model to society. You'll have men raising boys, and you have women raising women. That it won't be that anymore, because we have a very degenerative behavior. So all these things are degenerative. They're all animalistic. We're not coming from a spiritual side. We're coming from a devil side. And it seems as though our society entertains negativity so damn much. And then we want to be sitting here blaming white men. And no. Everything starts with us. It starts within our. We have too much internal issues that stem from decades of frustration and discrimination and all kind of stuff that plagues our society. We have to start taking control over our kids, because now it seems like the kids are taking control of the parents. And that's when society starts that way, this society is doomed, because there's no way in hell did the kids get impregnated and bring the parents into the world, or was it the other way around? So that's what I'm saying, that boundary, that line, like, I'm your mother, I'm your father, I will take you out. Don't get it twisted. Absolutely. Because I'm joking with you, this, that, and the third. No, this is a standard. And not for nothing, it's a vicious cycle. How do their grandparents raise the parents and so forth? Because that's how it happens. There's no way that one of us on this line came this far in life if one of our parents wasn't influential, if one of our parents didn't put their foot down. Because if your parent did not put your foot down, you would not even be on a podcast right now. We would either be in jail, or we would probably be dead, or because we don't have any mentorship. We don't have nobody that's like, no, hell no, this is not how I'm going to raise my kid. Because your child is a product of you. Your child is a product of you. If they're like, damn, Kim, you were never this way. How did so-and-so come out this way? Oh, so-and-so, you were raised this way. How did they come out? Because they're like, we know you, and we know how you were raised. We know you from the grassroots. That's what it is, the grassroots. So how the hell did he come out this way? How did she come out this way? Ah, look at the kid who just did the manifesto in Florida. He bought guns. How the hell does he live with his parents, and his parents didn't know he bought the guns? They were in on it, and they influenced him. They were strict on him. Do you think you would have a gun? And, of course, with society, how easy it is to go get a damn gun. And not for nothing, the biggest topic in this country is gun control. But then again, we're not living in a country. We're living in a corporation. We're living in a government that does not give a damn about us. So at the end of the day, if we don't give a damn about ourselves, then where do we stand now? Where do we stand now? And now your kids are being influenced by everything else except for you. And, of course, there's no dinner table time. That's another thing. No more family time. You're not sitting down asking kids questions. You're not talking to your kids. In fact, your kids don't even want to talk anymore, because you know what? They got social media and they got the whole world talking to them. And they're telling them what they want to hear. And the thing about it is, if you don't stand for something, you fall for anything. And if you're not telling your children what they need to hear, they've got to let society teach them. And after society teaches them, you have no more control over your kid. Because they're like, oh, again, society said that when I'm 16, I don't have to do this. When I'm 21, I don't got to do this, da-da-da-da-da. So who do you think has taught your kid? Who do you think has literally kidnapped your child from you? Society. So you have to train your kid. You have to tame your kid. And you have to construct your kid. So when your kid walks out that door, your kid knows the deal. Mom and dad. Because whatever you tell your child's going to go out in that world, and they're going to see the world. But what you kept in their head, along with the ass whoopings, they're like, ah, I ain't doing that, because I already know if I do that, I already know what's going to happen to me. And those are the ones who will never, ever be in the wrong. But the ones that have no discipline, no filter, no guidelines, those are the ones that I feel very dangerous about walking on the streets right now, because those are the ones now who are looking for trouble because they have no foundation. They know they ain't going to go home and get an ass whooping from their mom, because their mom is probably at home smoking crack, or on drugs, or screwing some dude, or don't even care. and don't even know where their kids are. Back in the 80s, they used to be at 10 o'clock. Do you know where your kids are on Fox 5? I'll never forget that. That's the generation we come from. Where are your kids at 10 o'clock? Some of you don't even know. Oh, he downstairs. Oh, he this, oh, he that. Next thing you know, you hear sirens. Your kid just got shot. You see that? That's all I got to say.
Thank you. Just wanted to add a little bit of something in there. It's not just the mom that will be out there smoking or something. Dad's out there not doing some stuff, too, and society's allowing that to be something that gets to go. But that's another subject on parenting on a different show. So I'm going to go back to the original question I asked you. If your mom hadn't walked around naked or didn't have some whatever, would you feel that there was anything you were missing out on? Mo?
No. No, I didn't, you know, in terms of, no, I never, I mean, like I said before, mom used to walk around like that or whatever. It never triggered me on anything. It never promoted me to go do something or like tickled my fancy or anything. No, it had no effect on me.
Okay. So thanks for your input, and definitely I'll let you bring in. There's another caller coming in. Got to make sure everybody gets a little shot here. Hang on. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, Katie. How you guys doing this evening? It's Terry.
Hey, Terry. What's going on? All right, definitely.
Oh, just been sitting back and listening for the hour and a half. So, yeah, I've been listening for the whole show. I didn't want to say anything. And you asked the question. You and I had talked about that naked issue before, and I told you how I felt about it in terms of my mom. So it doesn't change. A lot of it is, again, based on your own personal spiritual beliefs, how you tend to exist in this world. Do you have something that you give into? For me, being naked, I don't think parents should be naked around their children. You know, that's just how I was raised. My mom wasn't naked around me, and thank goodness she wasn't. Now, for fathers, to me, how disgustingly filthy it would be for me as a dad to be running around naked in front of my daughter.
Okay.
But, you know, so to me, it shouldn't be a double standard where mom can do it, but dad can't. We're not supposed to see our children are not supposed to see their parents naked in this period. So those who did, that's them. Again, it all comes down to how do you want to parent? How do you want to raise your children? That's what it comes down to. In the beginning of the show, you said there was a person on your page that said you have to just listen to your kids. It's not a simple-minded answer, but it's a simple answer. Of course, we're going to listen to our kids, but that doesn't take the place of the fact that you have to actually raise the kids. So in the process of raising them, you're going to be instilling your values into those children. You're going to be setting the stage for how those children are supposed to move about the world. So as they get older, you can see based on what Ema said that even if you did do that, that still doesn't guarantee that your children are not going to fail to become morally conscious, responsible citizens. If he's moving out and taking her iron and not asking, I mean, that's morally irresponsible.
Mm-hmm.
But yet she did the job of raising him as she was supposed to. So society can tell you all they want what you should do. But in the end, it comes down to your own personal lifestyle, your spiritual beliefs or none thereof, and how you input those into your children. Now, when you talk about raising children, of course, it's going to be different levels because the different stages of us growing up brings about a different attitude. So maybe she's saying, well, let's just listen to your kids. Okay, well, if they're young kids, yes, it's not a real problem to really raise them because from birth to about age 6 or so, you're their hero. They're looking up to you. They're listening to everything you say. Elementary school, now it's going to start to change a little bit. So your parenting style is going to start to adjust a little bit because the kids are starting to kind of figure out reading and writing east, west, north, south, 50 states in the country, you know, race, they're learning. Then you get to junior high school. Now you're slowly getting into that kind of puberty starting to take over. I'm starting to kind of sprout up a little bit and voice is getting a little deeper and breasts are starting to develop. So you're going to get a So each time at each of those stages, you're going to have to make an adjustment in your parenting. So this particular society we live in, I'm talking United States of America now, what society, who dominates this society? It only happens to be kind of one race of people. So in this society, we're really being told by this one particular race of people how we're supposed to parent. But here's the hypocritical part of that. this particular society once used whips and chains and guns and knives and things to beat to death other races of people. But now you're going to try to tell me not to give my child a spanking because he bolted across the street. I almost got hit by a car. Come on now. Stay out of my parenting. And that's what should be happening. We should not be trying to tell other people and their houses how to raise their children. It's based on you, how you grew up, and what you believe. For me, my children would be raised with discipline. Now, Brother Muhammad was talking about how he was raised. It's how I was raised. I was born in the 1960s. I was born during the Civil Rights Movement. I was born when there was still colored and white fountains. You see? So there's a different level to the way that I was brought up than the kids of today. The kids of today have too many freedoms. They have this technology. And so they don't have an obligation to understand that there's a moral responsibility that you have to society to be good, to be responsible, to be about something. They don't get that. And because they don't communicate with us, but they communicate with the devices, they don't know how to interact. You see, so this is why you get all these problems. So someone can easily jump on social media and tell Ema, oh, you shouldn't talk to your son that way. Well, again, mind your particular house's business. Because if I have a son and my son does something with my vehicle or whatever happens and he makes a mistake, he's going to hear about it. And if I say, you know what, for today, son, screw you, man. You ain't even alive to me. Okay, so let society come back and try to tell me, oh, that's so wrong. You shouldn't tell your child that. I was like, okay, go tell John Wayne Gacy's parents that. Go tell Richard Speck's parents that. Go tell Jeffrey Dahmer's parents that. Okay, and then come back and try to talk to me. But discipline is mandatory. It's a part of the word of the spirit that created us. If you don't discipline your children are going to grow up undisciplined and try to tell you what you're supposed to do. This is how they're able to tell you, buy me this phone, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to call the authorities, I'm going to cuss you out, I'm going to get tough with you. When Brother Muhammad said, look, I'll take you out, that's what I heard growing up, and I believe it. So wasn't no such thing as I'm going to rise up against my mom, I'm going to talk back to my grandmama, I'm going to step up into my uncle's chest and get with him. No, we understood that there's a order to life. And we're supposed to parent that into our children. So nobody else from the outside is supposed to tell us how we're supposed to raise our children. Yet they do because, as I told you, let's look at who dominates this society. The hypocritical folks trying to tell you what you should do. Yet again, what was with the whips and the chains and the beating us till our skin fell off? But not trying to tell us, oh, you can't spank your child. Okay, well, go ahead with that nonsense because you don't have the right to say that, period.
Absolutely, Terry. Oh, my God. As profound as always. And that's absolutely true. As far as myself, I used to say this thing. If you are not saving my soul, paying my rent, taking care of anything that will help my children or pretty much satisfying my sexual needs, which are all the things, and you have nothing to say to me, pretty much. The other situation is, what about those people who grew up having their bodies violated growing up? I was one of them. I was a victim of molestation and incest. I definitely had no choice in people violating me. So I definitely and never wanted my children to ever feel that their bodies were not their own or their own choices at any point. So I definitely don't agree with walking around naked in front of my children. I grew up knowing that my parents was like royalty and a whole separate entity. Earlier today, Ema, you said you grew up never being able to go to your parents and take anything from them. Listen, my parents' bedroom was like, it was like Fort Knox. You had to have an appointment just to see if your parents were in the room, if you were having, unless you were bleeding or something. Coming into my bedroom, that's my palace. You needed an invitation.
Can I interject
absolutely,
for a second?
Go ahead.
See, a part of that for all of us on this panel, though, is that our parents set the stage for us. They made us understand you are the child, period. I am the parent. So we knew there was a separation in what we can and cannot do and say. So we understood at certain times you can't get into the parents' conversation. I know for me, when the parents got together, the kids had to go someplace else. You go to another, you go outside, you go someplace else, but not where you could hear the parents' conversation because you are not grown. So, again, because now, as Brother Muhammad was saying, you want to mix with the children as if they're your friends. No, you don't do that. You're always supposed to remain that child's parent so that they never get it confused. I am your parent. I am not your friend. The children that are your age, those are your friends. So don't ever come to me, Dad, let's go hang out and drink a beer and smoke a joint together, because you already know you're never even going to open your mouth to come at me that way. That's what it comes down to. Again, discipline is supposed to be a part of raising children. Failure to discipline children is going to cause some very serious problems in those children being responsible to society, because they're going to feel, I don't have to be responsible to anybody. That's why it's so critical that we do instill that discipline in the children.
Mm-hmm. You know, nowadays, I don't know what happened to parents. I mean, I know parents work hard, and I think sometimes with the way society is so built, where you have two parents now that have to work, or, of course, if the dad is not around, and a mother, a woman can only do for so much. And the thing is, depending on how many kids you have, you do not know how easily influenced these kids are, because they're on the streets joining other kids who parents are in the same situation. So then they formulate their own alliance and formulate their own group, and they go into society. And then you have some of these kids who are jumping from foster home to foster home. You know, you need that parenting. Like, whatever happened to that? What, like, are parents working too hard, or they just don't care, or, like, have parents changed too? Because I know the world has changed completely, but to find someone that actually, a child that was raised in a village, that's like a pastime. Or you have to go somewhere in the world and find it, because you don't see that again in our society. Our society, I mean, you have parents now who are scared of their own children. You know what I mean? That their kid will pick up a gun. You know what I mean? They're scared of their own kids, and it's like, oh, nah, this cannot be. Like, again, a child does not own the parent. The parent owns the child, and that has to go back. And that doesn't even matter. You could be 60 years old, and still you won't suck your teeth at your mother, because that – and I'm 42, and I'm telling you, to this day, there's a stigma on me that if I even do, I already look in left and right, because since a child, mother was like, who are you sucking your teeth at? Above my lip. When I was 16 years old, my mother threw a flashlight like a football, and it hit me from far. And that was because I sucked my teeth. And you see, again, it starts from young, that you're a grown-ass man, grown-ass woman. To this day, you still have that fear of even sucking your teeth. You see, and the thing is, if that wasn't instilled in me at young, then I wouldn't care. I'd be like, she never said anything. She let me do whatever. But she already let me and my sister know from beginning that you don't do those things. And that's based on how you're raised. So when you're raised a certain way and it instills in you, you never forget those things. And then when you have your children, you do the exact same thing. There's no way you're going to be raised correctly, and then you go and raise your children as if you're from the gutter. Hell no. It doesn't go like that.
I got just like a few, not a few minutes, but not much time left. And I kind of want to, like, pretty much all of us have put our parenting inputs into the soup bowl right here. And pretty much I think all of us are saying kind of the same thing with regards to society and their input. First of all, society is made up by a bunch of strangers that will never be in your home, not ever, unless there's some, you know, interference type situation going on. But here's the situation. There is no manual on right or wrong, but people know what you consider abuse versus loving discipline. Even if the discipline has to be a hard shot, there's sometimes that you got to give tough love. We knew when we were getting discipline with whippings or whatever, what we did wrong and why that came there. Like you said, Terry, your child just ran out of the street and almost got hit by a car. That's one thing. That's not a timeout situation. That's that you need to get a shock of your life to understand that that's something you never do again. If your child has some metal object and they're headed to the socket in the wall, you're not going to sit there and go, no, dear. No. You go, that'll go boom. You're going to do something to give shock value. At the end of the day, our jobs as parents is to give our best to give them a base foundation that no matter how far they venture out when they're experimenting or making their mistakes, they'll always remember their home training. They'll always remember what to come back to. And sometimes you still get a serial killer in the mix, no matter what you gave them. But at the end of the day, that was their choices after you've given them everything you could to start with. Not everybody who walks out the door and robs a bank is because their parents weren't nice to them. I know some people that they have stories about that they pretty much just wanted to do it, and they got a rush from it after the first time. Tell me how the hell you can sit there and explain how a mother and her son are involved with having fentanyl at a daycare place to kill a child and
oh
600 kids are fighting themselves.
Oh, my gosh. Such a sad. Oh, gosh. The story breaks my heart. A baby.
There are things out there. There are things out there. You know what it means to crack a head, your kid in the head with a metal pipe. That's not loving or parenting. That's not discipline. That's abuse. And you mentioned something, Mohammed. You going out there and teaching your 8-year-old how to go buy a gun, and then they bring it to school and you were nowhere to be found. Society, where were you on that one? Just like you said, Terry, the society that taught take what you want with whip chains and axes and all sorts of things, but then turn around and say, no, you can't hit your child when they're doing something that's going to hurt them or someone else. And then you'd be that very same parent that if I didn't take care of them at 16, you'll be with hitting them with a baton, talking about where were you when they were growing up to lead them in a different manner. That is the situation. You know nothing about it. You've got men in legislature telling women about abortions. They'll never in their life ever get pregnant, no matter what hormone shots, therapy they take, no matter which way, which alphabet they choose to be, no matter which what. They are not ever, ever going to know what it's like to be raped and have to be pregnant and carry somebody's baby that they don't even know or will never have chosen. Society making choices like that. Society wasn't there when you were deciding whether or not that child's going to come. That same society wasn't there to help you when your child has autism, when your child has a hearing disorder, when your child is not making the grades as they should based on the standards they put in place. And then you have the other society, the people who are on your level, meaning their parents too, but they have so many things to say. But then you sit around and see them smoking weed or drinking with their kids, something we all brought up on this panel. I have children that my oldest is 32 now, 33. And I'm going to tell you right now, she couldn't sit with me, and she's a mom. She couldn't sit with me and play no Eminem song with some explicit lyrics written right there with me, and I'm going to be bumping with her. In my house, you take that outside because that's for you and your peers to listen to. And if you're underage in my house and you listening to that, I better not hear it, and it better be in your headphones privately with your friends. Not because everything you see me do, you're allowed to do with me. You have to be your own person over there with that, because in my house, no. And I know a lot of people say that sometimes kids are going to follow what they see you do and not what you say. But there's times that some things that you do, you can say to them, you see me doing it and look where I'm at. I smoke and I have issues now breathing. I smoked weed and now I have other situations going on. I was drinking forever and now my liver is gone. I smoked and I died of lung cancer. My children's father died of lung cancer. I can sit here now and tell them, don't smoke cigarettes. Look how long it took me to quit. And believe me, when I wanted to quit, I went through everything that society said was the way to go. I tried Nicorette. I tried the nicotine patch. I've tried everything. And for every great thing from heaven for non-smoking that came along, there was a big side effect or not effective enough. And the one thing I thought was the heaven-sent thing, which was Chantix. You can smoke for a week while the medicine builds up, and the medicine was only something like a sugar pill. It was going to be okay. And then they didn't tell you the fine print. You have suicidal thoughts and you dream vivid dreams, colorful, realistic dreams. And you know what those were for me? Giant rats. Rats. I can't take looking at a hamster or a mouse or any of those things. And I'm dreaming about rats. That made me smoke more.
So those things don't work. It's what you have to do for you. What wind up working was cold turkey because I wind up getting sick, starting off with having pneumonia, asthma-related pneumonia, which turned into bronchitis. Then I wind up getting a seven-day antibiotic that by the third day you should be feeling better. I wind up coming back in and needed to get some more medicine, and I couldn't breathe because I was still smoking. And it wasn't until I realized it's either I'm going to be with my kids or I'm going to be dead, one of the two. That's when I told my children, I need you to help me out for the first 2 weeks because that's going to be the hardest time to kick this cold turkey. But by the time that 2 weeks was up, I didn't even know when I stopped wanting a cigarette. But I can say that to my kids because I went through it all. And that is the way we each get a chance to teach a different way. Now, if the father was in the picture and doing his part, he would have had a different way of doing it. But that's what makes the uniqueness of each person coming together as a team, make the village and make it work for your kids. But society needs to stop poking fingers and actually lend a hand if they're going to do anything, because that's what the village was supposed to be. With that being said, everybody, I've got one final song to play out. I want to say my good nights now because we're down to 8 minutes, but I want to thank every single one of you that was coming at EMA. Like I said, you are a standing guest. Terry, you already know. Muhammad, thank you all the time for the input you put in. I met this boy at 17 years old. He came to Burger King dressed up in a suit and tie before he changed into his uniform. People sat and made fun of him, but he was profound and had great things to say at a very young age. So I know what kind of father he'd be and what character he is. So I want to nurture that and consistently make sure all you men know that real women salute you. And that's what the deal is. So with that being said, these little boys and my older daughter's on this with them. This is their take on heartbreak but still loving the person that you left and can't get rid of them. So with that being said, here is I Don't Know Why, and I will see you guys on Wednesday night. So have a good night, everybody.
Good night, guys.
The way you hugging those kisses, yeah. It's a memory, can't fade away. I wanted to, but it feels locked in place. You made me feel so special. You're the only one that I can't replace. This love was perfect and it ended, and it left me dealing with my conscience.
True.
So I'm constantly depressed. Used to watch the stars glisten,
yeah.
Used to hold hands,
yeah.
And make bonds. The funnest things ever. Till it vanished and I'm coolest to what happened, yeah,
yeah.
Till it vanished and I'm coolest to what happened, yeah. All the laughing that we shared, my fingers running through your hair, and I don't know why this ended. We were meant for each other, or I guess that's how we felt it.
But now I'm left here with darkness and sad tears, cause
I'm still dressed in this heartbreak. I wish the pain would just go away. I don't know why I still feel this way about you. I just want you to go away and let the memories fade away. But I still miss the things about you.
No, no, no. You got me shaking my head. Didn't even give me time to process all the words that was said. Yesterday we were together, but now you left too quick. Can't wrap my head around the fact that I just wanna get tricked. Didn't ever think you would quit, but now you got me here spitting, writing love letters, admitting that I am missing your kisses. But it's my fault to think that you would never go diss me. But now you're gone, you dismiss me. I'm a black hole, you've abyssed me. But you know what's really funny? I'm angry with myself. I should be over you. We wasted time, should share the wealth. But now I'm doing me. I hope you happy though. I had these words written for you, but now you'll never know.
I'm still dressed in this heartbreak. I wish the pain will just go away. I don't know why I still feel this way about you. I just want you to go away and let the memories fade away. But I still miss the things about you.
On the Edge. Real talk about real issues.